You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price, the Million Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just let me know. You need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday, motherfucker. You missed a happy birthday song. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. As you can tell by the intro music, it's our co-host Devin's birthday, so wish the sumbitch a happy birthday. Devin, go ahead, throw your social media out.
I don't remember my social media because I'm old, but
yeah, we know.
I think I can muster it up, man. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. And yeah, I had a little technical issue with the relaunch of the podcast. So stay tuned for information on that. And make sure you guys are also following us on Facebook, and you're a member of the Reality Era News Group where we talk wrestling.
So I love how you just glossed over the fact that we just sang you happy birthday, you asshole.
See, man, look, full disclosure, I didn't hear it. But thank you, guys. Well, I really do appreciate it.
Just so you know, Devin's not watching the live chat, but I am.
I got technical stuff. I've got match cards. I'm pulling up information about. See, man, I'm back in podcast mode, man. I'm all about business today, man.
Oh, but, shit. He's ready. Really, he's ready to go, huh?
But no, I really do appreciate it, man. Being 35, it feels kind of weird, but you know.
You're old. Just face it.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, Detroit NOKOUT. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, where if you pay attention and we're watching our social media, tonight's guest was supposed to be Asha Pereira, but she was sick due to this damn weather. And she's definitely going to be back real soon, probably sometime in the month of January. So stay tuned for that. Also, make sure if you are checking this out in post, make sure you're following us on Facebook as well, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast, and on YouTube, Knockouts and Three Counts. Subscribe to it. Do it.
That's what happens when you spend a week in Detroit and then you go back to Atlanta. Get sick.
Don't you dare blame it on Detroit, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you're in Michigan and then you go back to Georgia. Yes.
She's technically in Florida right now, but who's counting?
That's what happens when you are up north for a week and then you go down to the south.
We're out to a fucking great start. With that being said, Devin, we just had a huge weekend in wrestling, man. You had Wrestle Kingdom 14 from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. You know, two-night show. First time they've done a two-night show. What are your thoughts overall on the show? And since I know you follow Japan a little bit more closely than I do, I'll let you quarterback it and let us know what we're going to cover first.
Well, if we're going to give general thoughts first, man, let me just say Wrestle Kingdom is now on my bucket list of things to do.
Same.
Shout out to the guy from Detroit Wrestling Network, Ken and D and those guys. Pretty much like right afterwards, we all kind of in a little group chat started saying like, we have to go to Wrestle Kingdom. And
hey, if this is really a thing, dude, I'm dead ass. I'll go.
Yeah, we're talking about going for 2022. Give us, you know, 2 years to plan it out, and you know, everybody get their vacation time, save up money, so it won't be, you know, a problem at all. So we're thinking about doing it 2 years from now. So for me, I wanted to go this year, but you know, with everything going on in my life, you know, moving down here to Texas and all the craziness, I put it off and said, you know, I'll wait. But to me, Wrestle Kingdom has definitely become that bucket list thing to do. And now with the new 2-day format, something that I think WWE probably should look at is, you know, because Wrestle Kingdom is a long event as a 1-day thing. So spread it out over 2 days. It's still, honestly, it's still kind of long.
But it was still a lot.
Not as bad. Right. It'll spread it out over 2 days. I think makes it a lot better. And I enjoyed basically day one and day two. I'm actually watching New Year's Dash right now. So it's basically a 3-day event now. So I'm definitely looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom in the future. And because this year, to me, was a huge success.
Well,
what was your overall thoughts?
Well, first of all, let's talk about that. So, you know, it was over a 2-day period. There were many different ways you could watch it. You could watch it on Fight TV. You could watch it on a streaming service. You could watch it on New Japan World. First of all, how did you watch it?
It's actually funny you say that. I had a little bit of a problem because I was going to go ahead and sign up for New Japan World.
That's what I did.
But I had a little bit of a problem, getting on there and signing up. So I ended up having to watch it on Fight TV over 2 days, well, 3 days now.
So you paid the $50 for it, huh?
Yeah, and I was trying to go ahead and sign up for New Japan World. I said, hell, it's, what, $10 a month, right?
That's what me and friend of the show, Jerry Vagana, did. So that's what I did for this one.
Yeah, so I'm like, if it's $10 a month and I was paying $54, you know, this one event, I might as well put another $50 with that and, you know, get it for the rest of the year. But so I'm still going to sign up for New Japan World, but because I wanted to see it live, because I got off of work and basically rushed home, grabbed snacks and rushed home, started watching. I just went on ahead and paid the $50 for Fight TV.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's what was hard for me, because like with my work schedule, man, it was hard to watch it. To be up to watch it as it happened, because I had to work the next day. So I watched it kind of in chunks, really. I actually just finished the Naito Okada match while I was in the parking lot before we went on the air. So where you want to start first? Are we starting at the beginning of night one? Should we talk Liger first, since he kind of kicked off the show?
Well, I think that's a, I'm glad you said it. That's actually a really good place to start. This is a big celebration for one of the biggest stars in the history of Japan, Jushin Thunder Liger. It basically took place over the 3-day week. Started off with day one, and a lot of legends of Japan were in a match with Liger. Then night two, he'll go up against some of the current talent. And night three, basically his retirement ceremony and speech. So let's start off with your thoughts of Jushin Thunder Liger and his career.
For me, man, I've always been a fan of Liger. First time I saw Liger, was in WCW. I would say had to have been 97, 98, maybe, you know, cause he would come in and out, of WCW, which is the first place I saw him. As a whole, man, it's kind of hard to really argue the impact that guy's had on the business. Cause when you think about it, especially with it coming full circle with the fact that he got to compete in WWE, even if it being under the NXT banner, that's still WWE. So, I mean, he's literally wrestled everywhere there is to wrestle. Okay. And you listen, and even if you were to just look at social media and look at the outpouring of either guys that have worked with him or people that were impacted by his work, even clear down to in the first match, man, you know, when the great Sasuke comes out with a mask that's got kind of like half of a Liger mask.
Right.
I mean, the guy's a legend. You know, and I was talking with my buddy Jimmy, who I was watching night one with. I think it would be a crime if he doesn't end up in the WWE Hall of Fame, especially considering that Tatsumi Fujinami, who was also in that match, is in the WWE Hall of Fame. For me, I think Liger should be a shoe-in, or that's a fucking travesty.
I agree, man. For me, it's kind of weird. Like, I was a big fan of WCW kind of early on as a kid. But once kind of like the NWO version of WCW kind of started, I honestly wasn't watching a lot of WCW at that time. But for me, kind of my intro to Japanese wrestling period was I kept hearing about this great match between Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask. And I guess you could say I was kind of tape trading a little bit at the time. For all you you young whippersnappers, you know, me, this being my 35th birthday, I'm showing my age right now. But we would basically trade tapes with each other of matches from different promotions around the world and in the United States. So I was watching this tape with the great Tiger Mask versus Dynamite Kid match on there. And on that tape, there was also a match with Jushin Thunder Liger. And I remember seeing him. I'm like, who is this guy? And how does he do this? Because you got to realize, man, that style over in Japan and in Mexico, too, was stuff we didn't really see a lot in the United States. So really, Tiger Mask was my intro into Jushin Thunder Liger, but those guys over in Japan and coming over to WCW was huge. And credit to Eric Bischoff for working that relationship between New Japan and WCW, because we got to see them here in the United States with that cruiserweight division. And just watching him over the years, you watch Thunder Liger, man, you realize that this is – You're watching something special. Any chance you get to see him wrestle, you need to watch it. So I implore everybody to go back and watch some old Tiger Mask and watch some old Sasuke and Thunder Liger matches. Go down the YouTube rabbit hole, man, and watch this legend in action, man.
Well, I think the big credit to Liger that isn't, you know, talked about a lot is you mentioned in WCW that a lot of the, you know, that was the place that a lot of people kind of first saw him, at least here in America. And the thing about that is, you know, I used to, and I've watched a lot of this in post. I don't remember as much of it as it happened, but you know, I remember watching a lot of WCW and you would always hear Dusty Rhodes talk about, you know, because a lot of the guys that Liger would wrestle would always be in the quote unquote cruiserweight division. But Dusty always made it a point to point out the fact that Liger would tie it up with everybody, whether that be heavyweight or whatever. So, like, he would always do a good job of putting over the fact that Liger could either do the cruiserweight style or wrestle a heavyweight main event style. So, I mean, that guy's career is really unparalleled. And I think if you watch the two matches that happened at Wrestle Kingdom 14, it shows just how much of a pro Liger is in the fact that he wanted to go out on his shield. You know, he didn't,
definitely.
He didn't win either one of those matches, which the first one,
I thought they were going to have him win that match and then probably lose the match the next night against Hiromu. And oh, my God, Blake, who's his partner?
It was Hiromu match. And Dragon Lee.
Dragon Lee.
Ryu Lee, which is what they were calling.
He's not Dragon Lee anymore. He's Ryu Lee now.
I don't know why, but that makes no sense. But okay.
Yeah, but of those two matches, man, which one did you enjoy the most?
Enjoy or okay? So the one that I thought was the better match was night two. The one that was more nostalgic was night one because I mean, like you just said, I mean, holy shit, they had Tiger Mask, you had Kobayashi, you had El Samurai, you had Ricegate in there. You had, I mean, literally, you had Fujinami, the guy from 01. I mean, you had like a who's who of both his greatest foes and some of his greatest, you know, friends along the way. So for a nostalgia thing, I think Night One's match was kind of one of those where you're like, holy shit. But as far as which do I think is the better match, I think Night Two. I don't think there's an argument there, really.
Yeah. So, and here's where Devin kind of gets a little negative. Night One, yes, it was good to, you know, to see all those legends in the ring. But I'm gonna be honest with you, man, that match is kind of hard to watch it at a few
agreed
moments.
Agreed.
Because I'm sitting there like, man, I don't want to see any of these guys get hurt, man, because. Someone was trying to, you know, play the hits, and I was a little worried, man.
Dude, on a couple of those suicide dives, I cringed.
Yeah.
A couple of those suicide dives, I cringed. And I also felt like, not that I thought it should have gone long, but I think that's the problem when you have guys that are clearly out of their prime, whether you say they still work or not. I mean, that match to me was a little short, considering it's going to be one of Liger's final two matches, which is why, although nostalgia-wise, I think it was a cool pick, and I'm sure that's what Liger wanted, was to be in the ring with all his friends at the Tokyo Dome. But as far as the match, it kind of just, I don't know. It was cool, but it, like you said, it was kind of like, the whole time I'm just like, oh, dude.
Please don't die. Please don't die.
Literally. Shout out to Danny Beals from Michigan Independent Wrestling, man. You know, they're over with the boys at Wrestling Rage as well. They're checking us out. He's commenting in the comments talking about how Dynamite versus Tiger Mask was the one that brought him into Japanese wrestling. So, I mean, a lot of people talking about Wrestle Kingdom 14.
Me too. Well, let's move into the card a little bit, man. To me, a match that I felt I was excited to go into it, which I felt this match definitely lived up to it. Let's talk about the Texas Death Match, man. Between
that was great,
John Moxley and the man that walked in with the championship, Mr. Lance Archer.
I don't know
about you, man. I've been a fan of Lance Archer for a while. I feel like Lance Archer, you know. Especially before when he was with Davey Boy, he had like this.
Why did they split them? Because I don't get to watch Japan that much, so I didn't know that. I was kind of wondering what happened to cause that.
I don't know what's going on with Davey Boy.
Is Davey just Japan? Not in Japan?
No, he's not in Japan anymore, man. He's basically over here in the United States now. I don't think he's been over there for a while.
Bobby says, happy birthday, brother.
Well, thank you, sir, man. I appreciate it. But with Lance Archer, man, and Davey Boy, man, that Killer Elite Squad, that was a great tag team.
They beat the shit out of people, bro.
Brody feel. And I enjoy Lance Archer. And I think him and Moxley had put on one hell of a match, man. I enjoyed it. What did you think?
I loved it. They just beat the hell out of each other, and it was a great match. And, like, so... For all of our past guests that still listen to the show, okay, this is not a Mark thing. I'm just saying it. You can tell the difference in the styles, right? Because the one thing that really stood out to me was more that the fact that it was crazy to see somebody getting smoked in the head again for the first time in quite a long time. Not that I'm saying that's what makes a match good, but what I'm saying is it was nice to see just that hard-hitting... snug. They beat the hell out of each other, but I thought it was a great match. The only thing that's a kicker for me with Japan, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but I've always thought this when I've watched stuff from Japan, I hate the fact that
the tables.
That wasn't even the one I was going to use, but that too. But the chairs, bro.
Oh.
The plastic chairs just, I don't know, maybe it's because I always remember the steel chair, but It kind of was a little weird to me, but as far as the match, I thought it was great. I think Putting the belt back on Moxley was a great idea, and it leading into night two with his match against Juice, who, for those of you who don't know because of the name, you know, he used to be CJ Parker in NXT. You know, they had a big history while Mox was in WWE. So to have him go against a guy who he's a buddy with and then them have a great match on night two like that, I thought all in all, dude, I thought it was a good job by New Japan to, you know, keep Mox strong, because I was talking about this with Jerry, our buddy Jerry Vagana, who, if you haven't checked him out, check out Jerry Vagana Photography. He's the one who did the picture of tonight's guest, Aja Pereira, that we put up. My thing with that match is that he thought that Mox was going to come in, win the belt, and then lose it the next night. I didn't think that's a smart way to do, especially what you're doing with the AEW thing, and they were trying to tease, you know, the possible working relationship that could be being formed by them. I thought by if they would have had Moxley lose, it would have killed some of his credibility. So for me personally, I think they did that very well. I thought both matches were great. What'd you think about the match the second night?
Once again, good match. Surprised me as well with Moxley walking away with the victory. But what I loved was the fact that at the end, and one thing I was worried about was, okay, you got John Moxley coming in. He's just going to come in and just run through your entire roster. Moxley's definitely an attraction, but it kind of makes your main roster talent look bad if, you know, the big bad American just comes through and runs through everybody. But they fixed that at the end by having Minoru Suzuki beat the hell out of him after the match, which basically is setting up his next feud in New Japan. So I think they did a great job. But, you know, having Lance Archer and Juice Robinson,
I think they were good from him. I think they were good picks, though, because they were guys who weren't maybe necessarily like the top of the card guy, but at the same time, they were credible enough to where it wasn't like he was fighting a bum. The other thing that I like, too, is I like that they threw in the Death Rider thing, and I like that he's got a different theme song in Japan.
I agree. But something that, you know, I was listening to Bully Ray talk about, and it's something that I noticed, and I'm glad Bully Ray talked about this, too. I love New Japan wrestling. I do. But one thing that has always kind of, I thought, fell flat with them is their presentation a little bit. Like, whenever they, especially on the Tokyo Dome show, that's their biggest show of the year. They turn up the production value. You're in the big Tokyo Dome, all this space and pyro and great, you know, videos and video screens and stuff like that. But then guys come out to the ring and they just walk out to the ring like it's a UFC fight. And I like the fact that they take it a little bit more seriously. But one thing that, you know, Moxley and Juice Robinson and Lance Archer and these American guys bring to it is more of a presentation. Lance Archer's walking out there slapping young boys around, you know.
He literally cleared the whole ring out.
Yeah. You got John Moxley coming from, you know, the bullpen area, walking through the crowd. That's one thing that I think that the American guys bring to New Japan is they bring more of a little bit more showmanship to the show, man. It's something different. It's not just, you know, walking to the ring, serious face, let's start the fight or whatever. So that's something I wanted to point out too.
Okay. Definitely a good point. And Danny Beals lets us know that the reason why Davey Boy isn't around is because he wants to try his hand at MMA.
Really?
Which I would like to see.
Oh, and I think, isn't he with MLW?
He is. Him and Pillman are still left. Teddy Hart left, but him and Pillman are still there. He just faced Tom Lawler over there.
Well, get that bell ready, because I'll be seeing MLW this Saturday down here in Dallas.
Is that Zero Hour?
I'm not sure. I just bought the tickets, man. I was ready to go.
Well, you're going to catch a hell of a show. Definitely be on the move trying to get some shit done over there.
Definitely. Now, to me, let's move ahead a little bit. Another match that I was definitely looking forward to. My man Hiromu Takahashi going up against Will Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, man.
Definitely. What are your thoughts on this match? So, before I say anything, it was a great match. Not taking anything away from it. I believe I've said it multiple times here on the show. I mean, I'm a big fan of Will Ospreay. I really like Ospreay. Takahashi speaks for himself. And even to kind of go back a little bit to what we were talking about with Liger, I'm just so glad that you and I got to see him live at Ring of Honor a couple years ago. We saw Naito, Evil, all of them, all at the Royal Oak Music Theater. Yeah, that shit was pretty cool. As far as that match, I thought it was great, but, and this will be a perfect thing to get your thoughts on, my only downer of the match, although the athleticism in it is fucking amazing. Sometimes I hate when they do the spots where, like, there's so many flips that it almost seems choreographed.
Are you talking about the spot where
he German suplexed him into a fucking backflip, into another backflip, and then
flipped into the ring, and then did a I don't know what you would call it, a sunset, not a sunset, but like a back suplex spinny armbar flip thingy outside.
It was dope to watch, but it's still at the same time, it's like, man, like, come on, bro.
Hey, man, don't take my flippy shit from me, dog. I love flippy shit.
I do, too. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just like we talk about. Okay, and here's another – that brings up another great point. You know, you talked about what Bully Ray was talking about. Again, being someone that hasn't always gotten to watch as much Japanese stuff, the one thing I really did like with both nights is I liked the fact that there wasn't so much flippy stuff that it made you think of it as a wrestling match, but it looked like they were actually trying to damage their opponent. You're trying to damage your opponent, and you're trying to win the match. That was something I noticed in a lot of the matches that you don't see as much maybe in America. So, like, that was a definite positive to it. But in this match, I always say that when it comes to stuff like that. That's not taking anything away from the fact that it was absolutely awesome to watch. I just sometimes wish that there might be a better way to maybe throw in more fighting into it, I guess. Because I just wanted to make it – I want it to look –
Sounds like you're trying to take away my flippy shit.
I just want the flippy shit to make sense.
I don't care, man. Just flippy shit for me. But before we jump to the next match, let me just say, man, I'm glad to see Hiromu Takahashi back, man.
And the cat is still there.
What's that?
The cat's still with him, too.
Definitely. But, yeah, I don't know if everybody's seen the injury that he suffered, man, in his match with Dragon Lee. I think it was 2018, wasn't it?
I think so. And ironically, that was his partner on night two.
Right. And I went back and watched that injury, man, because I knew it was bad, but I forgot exactly how it happened, man. And, you know, watching that, the way that guy landed on his neck, man, and for him to finish that match and, you know, take the time off and come back and be the champion once again, man. Shout out to him for his comeback, man.
I have nothing ill will to say. Takahashi is great. And seeing him live, you go ahead and ring the bell. I definite fan of his work. Like I said, I think he had good showings both on night one and night two. I mean, you got to finish off Liger in his final match. I mean, that's a hell of a compliment.
So, quick production question about how much time left we got on the show.
Randy, where are we at?
You've got about 15 minutes.
You got about 15 minutes left.
15? All right, that's what I thought. So we'll lump these last two matches.
Let's hit the greatest hits, bro.
Yeah.
And before we got to go home, though, before it's time for us to go home, bro, you know, you're talking about go home and all that kind of shit. If you're looking for a home, Stransky & Company is the way to go. Stransky & Company is the top producing real estate team that specializes in individual strategy, over-the-top service, and continued success for their clients. They're the real estate easy button. If you're looking to buy, sell, or invest, call them at 248-563-9449 or email them at admin@stranskyandcompany.com. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Stransky & Company. Their links and all that stuff can be found on our website at ko3cpod.com.
You and Conrad Thompson, man, you guys are the best, man. I got to give you credit, brother.
Fuck that. I beat Conrad now.
All right. So I'm gonna lump the Intercontinental and the IWGP Championship matches together. But before we do that, we got to talk about what I think is one of the biggest things that come out of this whole weekend is the Tanahashi and Chris Jericho match, where Chris Jericho.
Good. I'm glad we're touching that one.
Was that?
I said good. I'm glad that's the other one we were going to talk about. It's like we'd be remiss not to talk about that one.
Right. Well, if Tanahashi won, then Chris Jericho would get a title match for the AEW championship. Tanahashi did not win, but I think the bigger news is what happened afterwards in the press conference. Where basically, to me, Chris Jericho might be the MVP of professional wrestling right now, man. He's the champion of AEW. He's killing it there. He comes over to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom, and he has a great match. But I think the bigger thing is at that press conference, he's basically trying to, you know, bring the two companies together, New Japan and AEW. There's a lot of bad blood right now because of all the guys from the Elite and the Bullet Club leaving and starting their own company with New Japan. And New Japan has a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth because of that. But Chris Jericho, he sees all the money that could be made with AEW and New Japan working together, you know, back and forth. And he's trying to be that guy that bridges them together and brings those two companies together, man. So shout out to Chris Jericho for being the MVP on that, man. So what are your thoughts on the match and Chris Jericho trying to be the peacemaker?
I think
instead of the painmaker.
I think that it's a great move to try to connect New Japan and New Japan and AEW, especially if you look at it in the sense of look what New Japan and Ring of Honor were able to do this past year at WrestleMania with the Madison Square Garden show. Imagine what they would be able to do if they were able to get one of the major ones like AEW behind them. I think that that could be a very good collaboration. Plus, you'd see a bunch of dope ass matches. As far as the match, I think it was a great match. Jericho had a little bit of the dad bod was showing, but fuck it. It was, I mean, dude, the match itself, though, proves why Jericho is as great as everybody says he is. Here's why. Because you go into the match and you hype up the fact that if Tana wins, that he gets an AEW title shot. And then, so everybody, myself included, I'll be honest with you. Part of me went into it like, well, you know, I don't know how, but somehow he'll end up winning, even if it's a DQ. And the thing that I thought, and again, I saw it in a lot of the matches, I liked the fact that they worked a body part. Like when Jericho busted up Tana's knee and then went out there and DDT'd him on the table and all that stuff. I mean, dude, that match was great. And again, to me, just shows why Jericho is as good as he is. But, man, I can't lie to you. I did not expect him to not only win, but to submit Tanahashi in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really enjoyed about the match, man, was that it gave you a finish that you didn't see coming. And if you can surprise me in my old age, my old 35-year-old ass, if you can surprise me watching wrestling, man, kudos to you, man. So shout out to those two guys who put on a great match. But to me, the bigger story is Jericho out there, you know, politicking, trying to get these two companies to make some real money and get an AEW New Japan partnership. So shout out to him, man.
Well, and the thing is, man, I mean, even if it doesn't come to fruition, I think it's kind of hard for anybody to deny the fact that it's definitely being taken seriously. I mean, we haven't heard New Japan talk about it so much, but when you think about AEW's arguably two biggest stars outside of Cody and the Bucks, or I should say, you know, the Elite, you know, are there. You have Moxley and then you have Jericho in two of the most high profile matches on both nights. I mean,
right.
It just, to me, further illustrates why I think it would be very beneficial for, you know, any one of the major promotions, if not all of them, to kind of like do like it used to be like with the territories and stuff. You know, you still kind of see it a little bit with MLW, you know, working with AAA and stuff like that. Like, I think that that would only be great for the business. And I, again, in the same way I mentioned in the Moxley match that I loved the fact that they're calling him the Death Rider and he's got a different theme song and all that, I like that Jericho does something totally different in Japan than he does there. And it just further illustrates the fact of why he's so good, because he's different everywhere you see him.
I agree, man. I enjoy the Painmaker, man. But let's go ahead and jump to, for those of you that don't know, part of the story was that night one, Naito challenged Jay White for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, and Kota Ibushi, the G1 winner, challenged Okada for the Heavyweight Championship. And then the next night, the winner of those two matches would go one-on-one, and the losers of those two matches would go one-on-one. And to me, man, those were four of the best matches of the weekend, and four of the best matches I've seen. Well, it's a new year, but over the past year, those are four of the best matches that I've seen.
Dude, I was talking about it today. Sorry, I couldn't help it, because just with what you said, like, even people that I work with that weren't wrestling fans, dude, that Okada Ibushi match, good God, they beat the fuck out of each other. I mean, dude. The tombstone on the apron.
There was a couple of things that made me very, very uncomfortable.
There were a couple suplexes that made me want to, oh God. There was one in the Jay White match that made me cringe.
And once again, man, you were talking in the Jay White Naito match, you were talking about working a body part. Man, I think there's something, and Bully Ray kind of talked about this too, and I thought this going in, and to hear Bully talk about it, he's actually been around Naito a few times. Actually, he wrestled Naito his first time.
I was listening to that on the way here.
And wrestled him. But basically what he's saying is that something's up with Naito, man, as far as like health-wise. And like his knee, I think something's up with his knee for real. But they played it as part of this whole weekend. They basically working his knee the whole weekend, man. And like you said, working a body part, and for them to work it in both matches over the weekend, man, to continue that story, I think it's good. I just hope it's not a real serious injury, and hopefully he's able to continue going and he doesn't have a short run like the Bully Ray kind of alluded to. But so the psychology over both Naito's knee was, to me, great storytelling.
I couldn't agree more, man. Like, that was definite a, you know, a big thing as far as, you know, working the body part, you know, beating the hell out of him. And then, you know, I was listening to Busted Open with Bully and listening to him talk about, you know, Naito having, you know, been beat up. But again, just to have him come out and still win like that, dude, and to have that big win like that, dude, it to me, it's great. I hope the same thing like you, that it doesn't mean that we're going to see, you know, a short transitional championship reign, because especially with the way they did it, I feel like if he doesn't have a long reign, that it would almost damage him to a degree. But right. As far as his two matches, you know, over the 2 days, man, I mean, him and Okada for that matter. I mean,
definitely.
Dude, they both just great matches. My only, I mean, like I said, I just hope that it's not a short title reign. I think it's well deserved that Naito won the title. That being said, where do you see Okada going from here?
I don't know, man. I will honestly, I think I would like to see more of him and Ibushi.
I would love that. That was amazing.
One thing that I got to give Ibushi credit for, man, is that he turned up his aggression.
He was stomping Okada's shit out in the match in night one, man. Like, I don't know about you, and I don't know if it hits you the same way, but, bro, when I was sitting there, I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, dude, he is laying it in right now. Like,
there was a couple of times where, like, he was just in the zone, man. It's like, I think he really wants to kill this guy.
I'm like, dog, you'd have thought he stole his lunch money, robbed his house. Like, dog, he had him on the ground and was stomping this dude out.
It was a couple of times with a referee, and shout out to my man Red Shoes, man. The referee had to jump in and tell him, like, hey, man, what are you doing? You can't punch him with a closed fist.
And he hit him. I mean, he was laying that shit in. And for everybody that thinks Okada's such a pretty boy, I mean, I think it did a good job of illustrating that Okada is tough as well. Although, I still stick by what I said. I could watch Okada matches all day, but I still hate the Rainmaker. I hate it.
Well, okay.
I hate it for this reason. For anyone that didn't hear my reasoning after I got back from Mania, here's why I don't like the Rainmaker. I think as a whole, I think Okada is great. But to me, a finisher should be something that if you can't finish him off one time, if I hit you the second time with it, that should be it. When you hit somebody with five of them bitches, is it really a finisher anymore?
So what you're saying, the curb stomp is dead?
I don't like seeing anyone hit their finisher that much. I don't. You know it's true. When we went to Money in the Bank, didn't I say the same thing? I say that regardless. It is not just Okada, or I'm just using that as an example because that's what we're talking about. But that one in particular sticks out to me because the match at G1 Supercard, he hit Jay White with five of them bitches before he finally pinned him. And they were in succession. So I'm like, if you just hit him with five of your finisher in succession and it took five of them, is it a finisher?
Well, I will say what I did like was the combination that he did with the Tombstone Piledriver, then hitting the Rainmaker,
sure,
and then getting the 1-2-3 against Ibushi. I did like that.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's not the best finisher. I give you that.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that derogatorily, but I'm being informed that it is getting to be time for us to go home. But before we get out of here, Devin, should we let them know what they got to look forward to next week?
Sure.
Well, January 18th, BCWA returns. It's Got Your Six. Dread King Logan has issued an open challenge for the Alliance title. You've got Blake will be making his return to BCWA. You got a new champion and past guest of the show, Justin Maine. You got all the heat back and forth between Gracefully Chosen and Mike Blackwell in Studio 86. There's a lot of things that you need to be checking out. If you're in the Downriver area or anywhere in Michigan, really, for that matter, make sure you're there January 18th, Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan, 4th Street. Make sure you're there and tune in next week, Tuesday at 9 o'clock. We'll be letting you know probably sometime the end of this week, or early next week who's going to be on the show to help us get you ready for that show. With that being said, man, there was a lot of I don't even know what to say, man. Wrestle Kingdom, it definitely made me want to see more New Japan. I'm interested to see where we go out of here. And we've got, like I said, BCWA is going to be next week. You got people from Lights Out coming on in a couple weeks to help promote Lights Out 8. That's going to be February 8th, Deltaplex Arena, Grand Rapids, Michigan. We got all kinds of stuff. So make sure you're paying attention to all of our social medias at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, Knockouts and Three Counts on Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook. And yeah, all of our personal social medias. Mine's at Detroit Knockout. Devin, go ahead, throw your stuff out. Anything else you're looking forward to bringing them this month?
Quick question. Were you about to say Patreon?
No, I wasn't. I just told I totally fucked my words up for a minute.
Matt, but yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinTheSixThree. You can follow me on Instagram at AllSteak No Sizzle. That's one word. I apologize for the non-relaunch of the show. It had a little technical problem, which is, I'm working through right now. Make sure you join the Facebook page of Knockouts and Three Counts and the Reality Era News group on Facebook as well. Hell, it's my birthday. If you want to, I'm against this, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you want to cash at me.
Oh, my God, dog.
You can go ahead and do that.
You bastard, dude.
6-3.
You bastard.
Oh, man. Hey, man, I like steak dinners for my birthday. I'll take a little cash for it. So go ahead and hit that $ Devin to 6-3. But thank you all for all the birthday love that I got from everybody that's watching. You guys in the studio, man, appreciate it.
You better go back and watch the happy birthday song, damn it. We did that on purpose.
I'm going to go back and watch, man. But you know, being away from home for my birthday, man, was a little bit weird. Plus, I got to go to work in a little bit. So I won't really be celebrating until this weekend. But appreciate you guys, man.
Hey, man, we appreciate you, too. Make sure you're checking us out next Tuesday. Shout out to Stransky and Company. With that being said, that's all for us. Peace.
Our intro music is More, More, More by Punch Deck.